Well, you all get the awesome privilege this morning of doing something a little different. So, as many of you know, you've heard Pastor Damien talking about moving out of the maintenance mode in our church. And maybe if you don't know what that means, 8 or 9 years ago, somewhere in that range, I hope I'm close. I'm not good with dates or remembering things, so forgive me if it's not quite right. Should be close, though. Apostle Tibbs handed over the church to his son, Damien. And for a time, God gave him some unique strategies to set this church on a foundation. And this church has been set on the foundation of Jesus, obviously, but one of love, identity, faith, and eternal purpose, revelation, empowerment, strategy, and triumph. But there was also a season where we were just kind of rebuilding that foundation, right? Making it rock solid and rock steady. And so in this new season that God's releasing this church into, he's releasing people with anointings and giftings and callings upon their life. And in the days to come, we're going to recognize some of those people here. We're going to be adding to elders here at the church, some deacons, recognizing and appointing some giftings that are inside of some people. So today, you're going to hear from some of those people that are going to be ordained, set in, and then appointed. Can everybody say, for such a time as this? Now, you're going to hear from some people today, but this pertains to you. For such a time as this, you're in this season. Can you think about that? That God thought it important. I said God thought it important enough to wake each of us up this morning and said, for such a time as this, I awakened you this morning. And so God's beginning to stir some things inside of the people. So we're going to bring those people up this morning, and you're going to hear from them. You're going to get to know a little bit about them. You're going to get to hear their heart this morning. So how many here said, I'll give them my full attention? Amen. Let's give them our full attention. They don't have a lot of time, so it's going to be quick and rushing. And I promise I won't be pointing at their my watch like, come on. But I know you're all hungry, but let's just be patient for a little bit and let's hear the heart of these people and what they have to say. Amen. So God, I just pray over those ones that are coming this morning. Father, I thank you for the atmosphere of peace that is already in this building because you are in this building. Father, I pray that the hearts of the people that stand before the congregation would be heard, that would be recognized that it's your heart and it's your spirit inside of them that's speaking. So, Father, thank you for having ownership of this room and control of the atmosphere right now. And I just release the anointing inside of these ones that are coming to speak in Jesus' name. Amen. So this one gets to go first, mostly because she said, I'm going first. So it's my wife. Many of you see me a lot, you hear me a lot, but what you don't know, you're really not getting the best of us. She's the best of us. And I'm not who I am without her, and I wouldn't be where I am without her. So I want to bring her up this morning. So this is Pastor Stacy. Amen. So let's give her a hand this morning. And I was told I have to stand beside her and not move and I guess not say anything, so.
Like he said, they didn't give us much time. So as he said, this is my husband. We have been married 28 and a half years. Some days that seems long, some days that seems like just yesterday we were married. We have 4 beautiful children. Bethany is in Kansas with her family. Evan and his wife is here, Gabriella and Addison. We have 10 grandchildren. 7 of those are here at the church with us. And then the other 3, Kansas. I became a follower of Christ. I was 12. The Lord brought me in Vacation Bible School to my knees. It's been a journey ever since. I have not always followed him the way that I should at all. But he got me to where he wanted me. I have served in the church in just about every area that you can imagine that is here to serve in. We were in another church for over 20 years, and I served there and another place through many, many different things. Here, I've been back where Dez is right now. I've done that. I've cooked downstairs for Matthew 25. I've served Baby Project with Mother Fields. I was a cook for several years down there for them. I've been over the women's ministry and somehow has got pulled back into that. I'm on the intercessory team. The only thing that I said, Lord, please don't, is Dawn's job. Dawn can keep her job, the administrative part of that. I am no good at. The testimony of how we got here is way too long to share. Maybe someday I'll get to. But he moved us away from where we were, and he was taking us somewhere to be used. We knew that. This was the first place we came. And the love that was in this place, Pastor Damien had just taken the pulpit, and he was teaching on love. The love that was in this place and continues to be in this place is out of this world. It's a heavenly love from the Father. And when we asked the kids at lunch, what do you think? Because they had to want it as well. They all said, that's home. This has continued to be home and filled with love. Every time you walk in that door, you just know it. My heart is for people in general. It bleeds for the lost. But it also bleeds for the women, for the young ones of the 20s and the 30-somethings. And what he gave me, Jim said, Stacy, that kind of looks like a sermon. I said, well, it kind of is. I'll try to be really brief. But my heart goes along with what we just did. He has been telling me, draw near to me. Draw near to me. And that's what James 4:8 says, draw near to him, and he will come near to you. And that draw means to come close, to join, extreme closeness, even being in his presence, where you can touch him, where he can touch you. This is the place that we have to learn to walk in. This is the place where we can say, this is where I live, I move, and I have my being in you, Lord. I'm going to give you just a little bit out of James chapter 4, but I encourage you to read it because that chapter is actually all about how to be close to him. It talks about your desires and your cravings. What are your desires and what are your cravings? Because whatever they are, they're going to draw you close to that. So are they selfish? Are they what gets your way? Are we having an affair with the world? Or are we leaving the world and ourselves behind and drawing close to him for more of him? When you love somebody so much, you want to be close to them, right? You just want to get up in there and do whatever they're doing. When you were dating, and I hope still as you're married, I know some of you do, and you've been married a long time, pursue each other continuously. Still pursue each other because you love each other. I still pursue Jesus because I love him, and he pursues me relentlessly and with great passion. And you know what? The closer we come to him, the more we pursue him, the closer he comes to us, and his desires become our desires. The things that he loved, I begin to love. That's where I got my love of football from. Everybody's like, where did that come from? Because I wanted just to be close to him. It didn't matter what he was doing. His loves became my loves. So in his presence, drawing close to him, his loves become our loves. But it's not all fun and games. I want to read you the Passion Translation of James 4:8. Move your heart closer and closer to God, and he will come even closer to you. that makes sure that you cleanse your life, you sinners, and you keep your heart pure and stop doubting. Remember, as we come closer and closer, we can reach out and touch him. He reaches out and touches us. We're face to face with him. So in verses 8 and 9 as well, as we get closer to him, that's why I want you to read the chapter. But in this version, it shows you, as you get closer to him, you begin to see, just as Isaiah did, we are unclean. What is going on within us? The closer we get to him, we feel the deep need of him. That's where we can lay everything down and allow him to cleanse our hearts and humble ourselves before him at his feet, laying our crown down before him. Then he will raise us up. In that presence of his closeness, we're changed forever. We can't come near him and him come near us without us being changed. And as I begin to go ahead and close, John always comes to mind, that beloved disciple. And God, he was God's beloved, and God was his beloved. Where did you find John? When they were sitting, he was always snuggled right up against him, leaning on him so he could feel his heartbeat. He was just all over him. He wanted to be in his presence. He was in his inner circle. I hope Jesus is in your inner circle and you're pushing into him so that you can lean back and you can feel his heartbeat. The last thing I want to read you is John 7, 37 through 39. On the most important day of the feast, the last day, Jesus stood and shouted to the crowd, "All you thirsty ones, come to me." Draw close. "Come to me and drink. Believe in me so that the rivers of the living water will burst forth out from within you, flowing from your innermost being, just like the scripture says." Jesus was prophesying about the Holy Spirit that the believers were being prepared to receive, but the Holy Spirit had not yet been poured out upon them because Jesus had not yet unveiled their eyes to his full splendor. They had eaten naturally, but they were still hungry for more, hungry for the spiritual, hungry for God. And he wanted to fill them. All you have to do is draw near. That one drink of him becomes a flowing river from you.
Wow, can we give her a hand this morning? Amen. I just want to say, like, it's really an awesome and humble privilege to stand with you. And even though we're before you right now, we're simply just with you. And that's really, I think, collectively our heart's desire as we lay our eyes upon you, is that you would walk in the fullness of all that God said that you could be and all that he said that you can do. And that you can do that in the hard times. And we want to walk with you in the hard times. That you can do it when you're on the mountaintop and you're rejoicing like we did first thing this morning. And we want to do that with you. We want to see you guys thrive and to really just set the world on fire, because that's what you were destined and made to do, right? And that's our desire as pastors, is to see you to walk in all that God has given you to walk in. And it doesn't matter how old you are, how long you've been here, whether you're here now or whether you're going, whether you come here for a while or you leave, it doesn't matter. We just want to love on you and we want to support you and we want to give you Jesus. We don't want to give you us, because we don't have anything to offer you. But what we do have is we have a God that is bigger than anything. He can change anything. So our challenge as pastors to you, do you believe the word of God this morning? Do you believe what it says about you? Do you believe this morning that all the things that it says that you are and can do you believe that this morning? And that's why you see me sometimes, and when I'm up here, I just want to encourage you guys. Like, come on, you can do this, right? That's our heart. That's our hearts coming out. And you don't get to see her as much, but that's her heart. The first thing she said is, my heart is for the people. And that's our heart this morning. So I hope in a short little way that you heard our hearts this morning is for all of you and to show you Jesus, to try to walk out Jesus with you, before you, and whatever that looks like. And we just simply ask for one thing from you, and that's grace. Because we're just humans. We're just Jim and Stacy. That's all we are. And we're going to stumble. We're going to fall. But will you extend grace? Because that's what we want to extend to you, because we believe that's what Jesus would do to you. So amen. Let's give Stacy another hand this morning. So the next couple that I'm going to call up this morning is Greg and Beth Bailiff. So let's give them a hand as they come. It's an amazing couple, and it's always hard talking about Beth around Beth and Greg both, because they're such humble people, and they just don't really, they're not about that. They don't need that. That's not who they are. But I'm going to let them talk to you this morning about their hearts and their vision and their time as husband and wife and all that. So
in the Word of God, it says there's a season, there's a time. There's a time for everything. If we look at a class,
Ecclesiastics,
we're at that season in our lives. In Romans, it said, he works all things together for good for those that love him. And when the times of life come to God, come back to God in the journey of new life. We were both born and raised in Lima. I moved here in 67 from Cartersville, grandson of a funeral director. So we both have four brothers and a sister. So that was quite a change to us. And ironically, the first adults that I met knew were my scoutmasters, and that was Beth's mother and father and mom Donna and that. So, and I became very close to Beth's brother, Tim. We were in scouting together and that. And it was all a big family. It was quite unusual that Beth and I didn't meet till in her 30s in life. And then we were married across the street. And we've got two wonderful daughters that Beth did a wonderful job to bring them up in the way of the Lord. And I'm just proud of them that they're active in their churches. And when her oldest daughter, Victoria, was born, she had some problems. And that's when I really became serious in faith. As I said before, brought up, funeral director, member Shawnee United Methodist Church, and that always knew that God was there, but it was just a peripheral thing. But after Victoria was born, with her problems and the way God just came through, that she excelled in life, and then later with Lexi, that was really a big change in our lives. And now Lexi's going to be married on May 4th. So it's the season of our lives too. God has been so good to us and given us so much family that it's time to give back in that, and to just promote the family that we've found here and been accepted with here. So that's what's really brought us into the new life, family, and purpose here.
Amen. Well, as he said, we have a little bit of a history together before we ever even got together. It was just figuring that out. And so there really is something about that scripture in Ecclesiastes that says, to everything there's a time and a season, a purpose under heaven. And when you begin to see the pattern of that in your life, it's real easy to figure out there is a God. There is someone that has a plan for you, a hope for you, a future for you. And not just for you, but for those around you. And when that circle of those around you becomes bigger and bigger and bigger, and is connected more and more and more to God, you can't help but be blessed. And that's what we love about the cycles and the seasons of God. And we begin to just kind of figure out that in all of that, it's not always about what you're getting. It's about what you're giving as well. It's one thing to receive a thing. It's another thing to release it. And so as more of God's heart gets imparted to you for who you are, who we are together, who our family is, and then the extension of that family into the family of God, wow. You just can't go wrong by not wanting to be a part of it. It's like it's embedded in us. As a matter of fact, I think it is. I think that's Father's heart. It's his DNA. It's that void in us that can't be filled by anything else but him and his love, his great love for us. Seasons, though, are seasons, right? It says there's a time to live, a time to die, a time to bring forth, and a time to decease. You know, a time to sow, a time to reap. We have seen that in our lives. 33 years almost now that we've been married. And we married later in life. We're not like most people our age. We don't have grandchildren and great-grandchildren yet. Our daughters are just getting married. They kind of followed suit, marrying later in life. But it's their time. It's their season. Where are you in your time and your season? Because God wants you to know he's not hiding it from you who you are and who he made you to be. No, he's saying search after it. Go for it. Look around you, where I've connected you, where I've put you, how I've made you. That's the beautiful thing, because it says then later on, and he makes everything beautiful in its time. And didn't we hear it just saying that we're in a for such a time moment? So I have a feeling what we're all up here sharing today too, you all have something to share. You have this for such a time place that you're in, where God's shifting something, convicting something even, saying to you, there's got to be more. Is there a hunger in you for the more of God? There sure was in us. So as we said, we've gone through some places. That's included several churches. You know, we came out of the Methodist church. Wonderful family, great foundations, but hungry for more. Didn't quite find it there. We blessed them, they blessed us, we went. And went on to several other churches and ended up here. But funny enough, right across the street is where it all started. Isn't that kind of something? Isn't that like a full circle of God? Even though we weren't really connected here, I came here sometimes for the morning prayer that Apostle Ed used to do. Who would have known that here we are now? God in his sovereignty and his times and his seasons. But that thing about working it all together for good, because he loves you and because you love him and you know you're called according to his purposes, that's kind of where we are right now. A lot of times people will say you're empty nesters. We don't believe in that. They're always welcome home to the nest. The nest is not empty. Even when they're not there, they're still in the nest right here. But we are home alone. You know, well, that changes things too. So you just have fun. You have fun wherever you are. And that's what we like about New Life here. It's fun. It's fun to be here. It's not a heavy place. It's just a place where you come and you live life and you do life together. And that's our hearts, is to do life together more with you guys in any way and capacity we can. Because it's all is under the Lord. And it's all about him. It's about the Father's heart being returned to the children. And so as we come into this place of whatever the Lord's opening the door for, our heart is just to say, yes, Lord, here we are. Send us. So we hope that you see that in our hearts. We hope you know that. We've been blessed to be the prayer leaders for the last year here at the church. participated in Matthew 25 ministries, some other things along the way, the Compel ministry. We just want to be where he said to be, doing what he said to do. It's all about the Father's business, right? Amen, and glorifying him. So we just thank you for the opportunity to share and give you a little bit of a picture of who we are. Pray for us because we got that wedding coming up here in a couple weeks, and we're really excited. We've been blessed that both of our daughters have found wonderful men of God. And that's our hearts too, is for covenant. We are firm believers in covenant in our marriage and with God, but with God first, so it can be in our marriage. And so we're in covenant with all of you as his family as well. And so we don't take that lightly. And it is an honor just to be here today sharing with you and seeing what kind of doors the Lord wants to open. So thank you for letting us share from our hearts. And remember, to everything, there is a time and a season, a purpose under heaven. And he makes it all beautiful in its time. He does. Amen. Amen.
Amen. You're probably wondering, like, why are we doing this morning? Well, some of these people that you're hearing from are going to be set in as elders and some of them deacons. In the weeks to come when we actually have that service, we're going to be recognizing special gifts inside of people, the gifts of the teacher and the pastor. And some of it's long overdue, to be honest, but for such a time as this. And so we thank you for your grace and your patience as we continue to walk and grow together here at New Life Christian Ministries, amen? But I'm excited. Are you guys excited? Like what, man, God's moving and God's stirring in this season. And while we were meeting with some of these beautiful people, and we met with a lot more than what you're gonna hear today, you'll hear from some others come down the road before we actually have our service. But nonetheless, there was a phrase, if you will, that came out of those meetings, and it was an appointed time. Like, this is an appointed time right now for New Life Christian Ministers as we move outside of the maintenance mode into the next phase of what God's having. And I'm like, this is just step one. Hear my heart and hear Pastor Damien and Pastor Brooke's heart, even though they're not standing here this morning. This is just one step, and that there's going to be another one, but we've got to step well. Amen. And that's our heart's desire. And that's the heart's desire of all the people that you're here from, is that when we step, we want to step in stride with the Lord and we want to step well. Amen. So I want to bring up the next couple, Derek and Deb Henry. I want to bring them up and let them share a little bit of their heart with you this morning. Amen. Let's give them a hand as they come.
Good morning, New Life. We are the Henrys, Derek and Deb. Thank you for this opportunity. Pardon my voice as well. I've been 2 weeks getting over some whatever crud it was, and I'm still trying to get there. Thank you for this opportunity to come before each of you to give a little background and also share what the Holy Spirit has told us, our vision for New Life Christian Ministry as it moves forward.
We currently reside in Wapakoneta, and we have called New Life our church home for the last 2.5 years. Prior to this, we went to First Assembly of God, aka Lama First, for nearly 20 years. However, we have been affiliated with New Life for over 5 years, due to Lima First being a part of Matthew 25 ministry.
We married in 2005, both of our second marriages. We dated for 2 years prior to getting married due to consideration of kids, our children, and not wanting to disrupt their lives until we were sure that doing the Brady Bunch thing, some of you may know what that is, some of you may not, would be mostly a positive experience for us all. While Deb and I know what we wanted to do, the children's well-being was the first priority. Deb had two biological children, a son Matthew and a daughter Nicole, and I had one son, his name is Dagan. Now, a bit of transparency here. In November of 2017, our daughter passed away due to an acute medical condition at the age of 34. Needless to say, it's been a challenge to us in our faith, even somewhat still today. Losing a child is a slow process. Slow process of healing, which includes being angry at God for taking her. But we also have that blessed hope, and that's really what's got us through, that we will one day see her again. We have found some comfort in different venues, one of which was some words from Scars in Heaven. This comforts us greatly. The lyrics go like this: there's not a day goes by that I don't see you. You live on in all the better parts of me. Until I'm standing with you in the sun, I'll fight this fight and this race I'll run till I can finally see what you can see. And scripture, Psalms 34:18, has comfort in many ways. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. That's also another good thing to lean on. And I'd also like to say, too, that anyone in here, or if you know of somebody that has had a similar experience, doesn't necessarily have to be a daughter, we're not counselors, but we can sure have an attentive ear, and we can sure express what we've gone through and our experience in that whole thing. So we invite whoever that may be. We served at the other church in many ministries and administration. But after 20 years, the Lord shut our ministry opportunities down and put in our hearts that he had somewhere else for us to go. The one thing he reminded us that it would be him to show us where that was. So we put it in his hands, and here is where we are. And imagine that. The Lord gave us peace and opened many ministry opportunities here at New Life. It's like he knows what he's doing, you know?
I've always had a heart for the broken, homeless, children, and the poor. I have been a nurse for over 40 years, and because of a sense of helping others, my career has been extremely rewarding. Derek and I lived in Cincinnati area for about 2 years, and while we were there, we went to Montgomery Assembly of God. They had a similar program to Matthew 25 in which we would feed the homeless, the poor, and underprivileged one Saturday a month. Our church had a location named the Lord's Pantry in the Over the Rhine area of Cincinnati. And at the time, that was the toughest part of Cincinnati. The first time I walked in there, the Holy Spirit just put in my heart, this is where I was supposed to be. And that experience is what led Derek and I to start the LFC version of Feeding Lima's Underprivileged by partnering with New Life. While Matthew 25 Kitchen is currently not active, Derek and I still have a heart to bring it back. And we're going to let the Lord lead us to whatever that may look like.
My experience at the Lord's Pantry that same day led me to the same place as Deb, but the Lord did it in a much different way. I had a skewed view of homeless and underprivileged people. In my view, all of them were lazy and all they needed was a job and things would get fine. Now, the first day when we were there, the Holy Spirit told me, you stand over there in the corner and don't say a word to anyone. That was my instructions that day. So I did. He said, just watch and listen. By the end of the 2.5 hours, the Lord transformed my heart by what I saw and heard. Specifically, there are people who cannot do a job, not because they don't want to. They just need without judgment. I came away with a different perspective of how some folks just need help. And it's a part of why we're here. The Lord, once we got back into the Lima area, all of them doors opened up. That is our vision for New Life Christian Ministries, to serve our community and expand what we call our community. Along the lines of a man named Jabez, his prayer to God was one of knowledge where he was and where he wanted to be, and relying on God for protection and that he be the one that carry him there. 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 10 says this: Now Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, Oh, that you would greatly bless me and extend my border, and that your hand might be with me, and that you would keep me from harm, so it would not hurt me. And the final word there, and God brought about what he requested. There is so much of what we have the opportunity to do here at New Life to move forward into God's will that is in that prayer of Jabez. First of all, know who we must turn to as we move forward. God invites us to be open and vulnerable as we petition him in prayer. Jabez certainly was. When difficulties arrive, and they will, we must lift up our most fervent and sincere prayers. We're to trust in God only. Never doubt, the Lord is here in the time of need. Putting our trust in him will allow us to receive his goodness. God's promise to us is this: I will never leave you or forsake you. That first shows up in Joshua 1:5. So if we come humbly but boldly before him and let God know that he is our only God forever and ever. We must be obedient. Obedience comes from the heart. In order for God to work in our plans, we must consent to his will. And when doing so, our hearts and minds will come together. His will manifests itself through our obedience. Our life becomes continual obedience when we get to know the Lord with all the freedom there is in knowing the Lord. Faith is a great part. Faith is a union with Christ Jesus. We must be sure we have it. If we do not, it doesn't make any difference what we do to expand our territory or anything like that. Our efforts will be like nailing jello to a tree. James chapter 2, verse 17 says, In the same way, faith by itself, if it's not accompanied by deeds, is dead. Now, once we pray to God and find out what it is, we need to wait on his answers. As Jabez called upon God, giving him his sincere petitions, he pleaded with God for his promise of aid. As we pray, we must show God our confidence in him answering the prayers. We must have confidence, even though we're not hearing anything right at that point in history, that he's going to answer the prayers, waiting in silent patience, not because the prayer is not being answered, but because we are all blessed by the Lord. His blessings. That's why we need to be patient. We know it's coming. We just need to be there when it gets there. And finally, probably the most important is grace. As we move forward in God's will for New Life Christian Ministries, grace must be applied. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, the Apostle Paul wrote of the thorn in his flesh given him by Satan. The Lord told him, "My grace is sufficient." As we move forward at New Life, thorns will appear. And when they do, we must show grace to each other. Satan will be here trying to tear things apart. Count on it. That's his job. Exercising our grace in difficult situations will be the difference in getting to where God wants to take us. Now, New Life is at a crossroads. God will show us the right road to take. We must come together in faith and have unity in deeds for the next ministries the Lord has for us. Or the renewal of the old ministries we talked about. The key words in the prayer of Jabez is this: "And God brought about what he requested." Devin, I want to thank you for this opportunity to serve at New Life Christian Ministries. You all make up New Life. This is New Life I'm looking at all over the room. Therefore, we're grateful to serve each and every one of you in whatever capacity that we can. And together, we can be, quote, greatly blessed and extend our borders. Thank you very much.
If you couldn't tell, that's Deb's most favorite thing to do in the whole wide world. But thank you, Deb, for standing up there. She does not like that. So can we all just say appointed time? And though there are people standing before you this morning, it's your appointed time. I want to keep reminding you of that this morning. The things that happen inside this church and the amount of time that it actually takes is very minimal, considered to the fact of what we do in our everyday lives. I spend way more time around wood and people than I do inside these four walls. So my ministry isn't really just here. My ministry is when I wake up in the morning and I say, "God, where are you taking these feet this morning?" And I'll go wherever you go, and I'll say and I'll do whatever you say to do. But you guys are all in ministry. And if you haven't listened lately to what Pastor Damien has been saying, that's the word that's come forth. Ministry isn't contained to what happens here on a Sunday morning or a Wednesday night. It's a part of it, but it's only a part. Ministry happens every day in your lives when you decide to wake up and give your lives to Christ and you live out your life, whether it's in your work and you come across people and you get to live out Jesus in front of them. You all are what? Ministers. How many times has Pastor Damien said that over the course of the last 3 weeks? Probably not much of an exaggeration of 100 times or more, it seems like. But we've needed it. And God is being repetitious on purpose. He's being repetitious. We all know that when something is said more than once in the Word of God, which should have our attention, right? It should have our attention. Well, God is desiring your attention, rather, right now. Will you be my ministers of reconciliation to a lost and dying world? And that inside of here is very minimal. But outside of there, it happens every day, 24/7, if you're willing to be a part of it. Amen? Listen, so not lastly, but would you please welcome to the stage Kyle and Dawn Waugh.
Hello, and just as Pastor just said, I am Kyle Waugh. This is my beautiful wife, Dawn. We have been married for 29 years and have three adult children, one grandson, and expecting another grandson here in a couple months. So we thank God for those blessings in our lives. But little on my history, how I came to know the Lord. I was born and raised in Alger, which Olivia knows what I'm talking about. But born and raised there in Alger, my dad was a minister for 30 or 31 years there at the Alger First United Methodist. So definitely grew up, you know, in a wonderful home, a wonderful environment. All the problems I ended up having was a result of poor decisions. It certainly wasn't due to any kind of trauma or bad events like that. But yeah, the came to accept the Lord. I can't tell you how old I was for certain. I mean, I was young, but certainly didn't have a true understanding, you know, of what I was doing. But several years back, it felt like our world was just kind of imploding around us. And I remember on my way home from work from Procter & Gamble, I was, you know, crying out to the Lord. I was like, you know, are you even real? And I clearly heard his voice in my head say, I am. And that brought me back around as an adult to seek him and just reconcile back with him. And I'm sorry. But yeah, that's what brought us back. And our lives were basically a train wreck at the time. Both of us broken personally and as a couple. But some of the ways that I've served in ministry in the past and some things that I've done here, of course, acted as an usher or greeter, and always willing to help out wherever I can as far as, you know, maintenance or that type of stuff. Here I've been, well, currently a deacon. Jimmy Newsom and I kind of head up the men's group. Trying to think. Should have wrote it down, huh? Yeah. But did you want to add anything yet, or you want to do it after?
Yeah, we had this conversation because we weren't driving with getting things written down. God has him on his journey, and he obviously has him on, me on my own. But just to kind of sum up where he's at right now before we go on a little bit further, my life was more of a train wreck and came from a little bit more dysfunction than what Kyle's family life was. So my amazing grandfather was a deacon of his church, and he would see to himself that he would come and pick my brother up every Sunday and take us to church. So as a young girl, I did have a foundation of Jesus, and my grandmother was one of my Sunday school teachers for many years. And just growing up and watching them model that was amazing. We were at Lima First, as well as Deb and Derek, for many years. We first came, like he said, we were broken. We were struggling. I was abused many different ways growing up, and we just were in chaos. But we knew with the foundation that he had that was placed by his parents and the foundation I had that was placed by my grandpa and my grandmother that the only way we were going to survive, the only way our marriage was going to survive is by putting God first, getting right with ourselves, and then showing our children and raising them up the best that we can in the ways of the Lord. So we went to Lima First when we were broken, serving in that capacity. I did a little bit of what I do now. I was, I kind of helped in the office. I was in charge of the scheduling for the children's ministry there at the church. I was on the altar team for people who would pray. We were small group hosts and leaders at the time, in many different roles. And then I was an admin to one of the associate pastors that was there at Lima First. But that's a little bit about that in our past, and then I'm going to pass it back over to Kyle.
excuse me. What really led us here, you know, as we were seeking more of God and His will in our life, where we were, and God will do this from time to time, we just kind of felt like we hit a plateau. We didn't feel like we were growing anymore or anything like that, and we knew that we needed to continue to seek Him and to focus our lives and everything in it around Him. And like I said, at the time I was working at Procter & Gamble, so Dawn was able to attend here during the midweek. I would come when I was available. I cannot remember. It was a midweek when I had a godly encounter here that really confirmed things for us. As Dawn and I sat back here, and she was really having a rough day, and one thing, she was really feeling like she didn't want to be here that night. If you feel that, the devil's coming against you, wanting you to miss something, I can assure you, because what happened was amazing. But as we were praising and worshiping, Pastor Jim, and I, at the time, I had only said hi to him a couple times, but, you know, he's up here on the stage just staring holes through me, you know, and I'm thinking, man, what's up with this weirdo, you know? But God was laying some things on his heart, and I do remember he asked if there were folks that needed prayer, and we didn't immediately jump forward or anything, but Pastor Jim came up here and looked at us. We were sitting right back there, but two fingers pointed at Dawn and I both and told us to come up. And if you've ever had Pastor Jim or Pastor Damien or anyone else in with a prophetic gifting, you're not just having an encounter with a mighty man of God. You're having an encounter with the Lord. And they spoke things to us that nobody knew. I mean, and that was such a revelation to us that they talked about the struggles that we were going through and stuff, and they didn't know anything about that, but God did. And it just really drew us in there, and we knew this is where we needed to be. And since then, we've seen so many moves of God here, so many miracles and deliverances, and my wife received a word right here at the altar that she was healed from, she had fallen and shattered her wrist, and she had to go in for surgery 2 weeks later, and they removed the hardware and there was nothing to fix. It was healed, and we praise God for that for sure. In my heart, though, really, I mean, I have a heart for just people in general, but folks that just have a need, you know, whether it's physical need or, you know, financial or hungry, whatever that may be. I think growing up in a good Christian home, I just had that compassionate heart and loved to help people. So, do you want to add where you're at? Okay. But I had a couple verses here as far as helping those in need. And it's Hebrews 13:16. And do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices God is pleased. And the second one is Matthew 25:44. They also will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you? He will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did not for one of the least of these, you did not do for me. And then the other was First Thessalonians. Wait a minute. Hang on here. I lost it. Should have wrote it down, huh? I apologize. I did not get that one captured, but a revelation though that I have truly had here lately, as far as those in need or those with needs, and I had a miraculous thing happen here a couple weeks ago, but I just see all these burdens that folks are carrying. And it took us a long while to develop a spiritual understanding of how those things can just weigh you down. And you know, God can't fix our brokenness if we're holding on to the pieces. I mean, it just doesn't happen that way. But I thank the Lord for the revelations he's given us in the help that he has been for us to overcome so many obstacles in our lives. So,
thank you. Okay. Some of the things you guys see me walking around here, the things I do here at New Life, is I am the admin here at the church. I was the first appointed to be Pastor Damien's helper, help him with his meetings, the meeting notes, and things like that. I now take care of the books. I do the event, the app, all the events on your church app that you see. I'm the person behind that with a little bit of help from those that I call upon that can help me. I'm also helped Pastor Brooke a few years ago get our youth program up and running. God has called me away from that as well, but it is going very well, and he has brought a lot of leaders to join alongside her, so we are very happy about that. Getting the ladies trained for the children's church is the registering and getting them in the schedule and things like that. So I wear many, many little hats here. You guys kind of see me as a little worker bee sometimes on Sundays going back, just making sure that I can be a servant to the servant team on the media team, everything that their needs that they need met. I'm there to help them, to assist them, whatever I can. They have more knowledge. Angie was back there for and trained an amazing team on things that we have, and now we're on a new system that I've been training Joey and now Joni to kind of step into that. So God's just placing the right people in the right places, and it's been so amazing. Kind of also, I'm on the intercessory and prayer team here as well. I might be forgetting a few other things, but wherever, I'm one of those that wherever God wants me to serve, wherever God wants me to help, my heart is to help those that are in need. God has truly given me a heart to serve those who have walked into abuse. For all, really all of his children, but especially those that have been abused in many ways. For the ones who struggle to even know who they are and their purpose here on this earth. One of the scriptures that got me through my walk and my time of transitioning with the Lord when I just couldn't go on anymore was in Philippians 4:6-8. And it says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. When you walk in that identity of someone that you're less than and people abuse you and talk down to you, your thoughts are not good thoughts. Your thoughts are condemning. You don't think on the things that are true and honorable that God says about each and every one of you. And so this has been like a mantra for me. God has pulled me a long way. I am not the victim no more. I am the victor. And you see, we find it easy to constantly worry about things. How many people worry about things? Right? You worry about things instead of going straight to prayer and asking Him to help you. Because you see, we're human, and there's a part of us that we want to control what is going on around us, just like the wife and me wanted to control my husband getting things written down. But you know, we have to get those things in God, because God is the one who ultimately leads each and every one of us. When we surrender and we submit to Him and we say, not our will, God, not my will, but your will. I am the vessel. Send me to do what you want me to do. And so you see, there are many things that God is wanting you, but how many do you know that the words that we speak, and as you already heard from her, but she was one that mentored me a lot when I came here, Pastor Stacy. And in Proverbs 18:21, it says the tongue can bring life. The tongue can bring death or life. Those who love to talk will reap the consequences. Brothers and sisters, how are your words being spoken over yourself? How are your words being spoken over your children, over your spouse or your significant other, your parents, your friends, your colleagues? Are you lifting them up or are you tearing them down? It's so easy for us to be able to react and to respond in the natural to the instance and the thing that's happening in that moment. But do you stop for a minute and think, how would God, if Jesus was standing here right now, how would Jesus respond to this instance right here? Those are the things that we have to get our thoughts gathered back in and renew our minds with Him. Our lives, once we are walking with Him, is nothing but a dress rehearsal for the day we stand as a bride before our bridegroom. How's your oils, brides? He's calling us in a time to go deeper and deeper with Him, just like Pastor Stacy has said. How is your dress rehearsal looking before you stand before your bridegroom? Is He going to ask you about the worries of yesterday and today? No. He's just going to look at you and marvel in your beauty. Will you marvel back at Him? Will you sit at His feet and marvel back at Him? Thank you.
Just one last final verse. So Matthew 11:28. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. And that is God's honest truth. He will.
Amen. Could you stand with us this morning? I'm going to ask all those couples to come up just as we get ready to release you. Thank you for your patience. But I hope you heard something from these people today. And if you heard something and you'd like to know more, come ask me. I'll tell you all kinds of stories about these people. No, go to them and say, hey, can we get together for a cup of coffee, lunch, dinner, or come over to the house? Or can I just talk to you here? But get to know these people even more on a more intimate level. Amen. So lastly, I just want to reiterate something, that this is just a first step in the next step for New Life Christian Ministries. And so if you would do me a favor, reach out your hands right now. Close your eyes. Let's pray for these people, right? There'll be more prayer over these people in the days to come. But Father, I just thank you for their hearts. I thank you for what we heard this morning from them. And what we heard from this morning from these people was, we heard you. We heard you speaking through them. Lord, their cares and their concerns for life and people are your cares and your concerns. So God, as we journey together, God, collectively, no matter where we serve or what position or title we may have. God, I just pray that all of us at New Life Christian Ministries would always be willing to give you the glory and the honor, and that you inside of us would be such a true reflection to the world that when they look at us, God, that they would just see you. So we not only just reach our hands out for the ones on the stage, but we reach our hands out to the ones in the congregation, and we begin to pray that over each of us right now in the name of Jesus, that God, you've called us all to serve in some capacity. You've called us all to be ministers of reconciliation, and we already know the message, God. We already know the message. Come back to God. So Father, in the days to come, I pray that we would not grow weary, as we heard today, and well-doing and doing well, God. I thank you that you're strengthening your children. I thank you that you're strengthening those with giftings. I thank you that you're strengthening leadership to lead well, Father God. But you're strengthening us. And as we draw close to you, that's where our strength lies, God. So God, I just begin right now in the name of Jesus, begin to thank you for fruit. And I thank you for the fruit of the lives of the people on this stage and in this congregation. I thank you for fruit. I thank you for the fruit that we've already seen, and I thank you for the fruit that is yet to come. So God, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for hearing the hearts of these beautiful people, Lord, and we just say, let it be so according to your will in your way. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We love you guys. Just a reminder, we do have midweek services right now on Wednesdays at 6:30. We have prayer before that. If you'd like to come before 6:30 and you're available, they have an awesome time of prayer. I encourage you to come. Do something that you haven't done maybe before and get outside of your box and try something new, right? Come to Bible study. You'll be blessed. We love you guys. Go in Jesus' name. And remember, you're a minister of reconciliation, and be blessed.